If something has gone wrong in the world, the chances are someone is trying to fix it. And here on People Fixing the World from the BBC World Service, we find the people who are trying to do just that. BBC World Service podcasts are supported by advertising.
Every year around the world, millions of tons of household goods get chucked away.
We are constantly bombarded with adverts that we need the latest TV, the latest car. Hence, things have got to go. And invariably, they end up in landfill.
Everything from toasters and hair tongs to tables and chairs.
Do you ever consider of maybe getting it repaired?
Probably not, no. I don't know, I suppose I think garden chairs are sort of the cheap enough to sort of just pick up new ones, and it's probably just easier just to get rid.
But how do we stop broken stuff going into the crusher? Could this be the answer?
Well, Repair Cafe is a free repair meeting where volunteer repair experts help people fix beloved broken items.
It's old school make, do and mend, but it's organised with an army of volunteers that spread around the world.
It can be a probable solution to the mounting landfill of Bangalore.
Hello and welcome to People Fixing the World, a podcast from the BBC World Service. I'm Nick Holland. This is an oasis of optimism because each week we look at problems facing the world and find the people who, through innovation, opportunism or accident, find a way to fix them. I'm in a small town east of Amsterdam. It's called Bussum. It's in the Netherlands, for a properly retro solution. It's an idea as old as mankind. This idea that if something is broken, well, just go ahead and fix it. The problem is you often need the time, the tools and the ingenuity. And where I am now has got all of those in abundance. It's an event called a repair cafe. Petra Olgers runs this repair cafe. Take us on a tour of this, of what's going on inside this room here now. Where are we?
Okay, we are at the Denk Sportcentrum, which is the location of our monthly repair cafe.
That's kind of a community center, right?
It's a community center where people are playing chess and bridge and so on.
Right, but today,
once a month, we open our repair cafe and we organize a meeting where we fix stuff.
Right, so there are lots of tables set around here and there are people sat at the tables and there's some people who brought stuff in that's broken, right?
Yeah, exactly. We have hostesses. That's where people check in.
Right, so when people come in, there's a table and they say, I've got this, it's bust.
Yes.
Can you fix it?
And then we try to organize it, register the person coming in and the item, and then we will bring them to one of our fixers who will try to repair it together with the one that is visiting.
So you match the person
with
what they've got broken to someone who, a volunteer? Are they volunteers?
Yeah, they're all volunteers here. Everybody in this room are volunteers.
We've got over here someone, there's a candlestick here.
Yeah, there's a silver candlestick.
Right.
And it's antique, I think. Well, and it moves too much. Well, I think that's it.
So there's that
visitor
here. And then if we move over here, there's someone fixing a lamp.
Okay, so the lamp is broken.
Right.
And
so this lamp is in two parts, is this your lamp?
It's mine. It's a very old one, actually. But I can't give it up, so I do ask the guys if they can repair it.
So it's got sentimental value for you.
Exactly.
Right. And you don't know how to repair it yourself?
No. Absolutely not. No.
I wonder why not.
I do have two left hands. That's a big problem.
Okay.
I think you've been here before, haven't you?
I've been here, actually.
You're a regular.
Yeah.
Well, excellent.
I was a regular.
Excellent.
Right, okay.
Lovely.
So there's some soldering going on over there. What's happening here?
Well, we're working on an inkjet printer.
Right.
And it does all the things it shouldn't do.
Which is what?
Normally you have a printer that, it's just dead.
Yeah.
But, this gives all kinds of signals that are not logical.
And this is your printer?
Yes, it is.
Massive frustration when the printer doesn't work right.
Yeah, but it's an old one, so.
Right. And it's not just men fixing stuff here. There are some, if we come across the other side of the room, look, there's some ladies over here with a, let's see if you can hear this. There's a sewing machine here.
Obviously.
Hi.
Jeans.
Yeah. Are these your trousers?
Yeah, they're mine.
And what's happened to them?
They had a bit of wear and tear around the,
around the crotch?
Yeah.
So you've got a hole in the bottom of your trousers?
Yeah. basically.
Right. And what's that from? Is that, are they just old or?
It's probably, well, probably on the bike.
Oh, you do a lot, obviously, yeah, Holland, people love cycling.
Yeah, a lot of cycling, so.
Right, so you think you've got a bit of wear and tear on the crotch of your trousers because of too much riding on the bike.
Yeah, yeah, and I've had that with loads of trousers, so now I thought, well, might as well try a repair cafe. And, yeah.
And hopefully you're going to have them fixed again and off you'll go.
Well, it looks all right now, so almost finished. So.
Great, thanks very much. The volunteers are here. Is it free? Can you bring your stuff to be fixed here for free?
Yeah, of course, but a repair cafe isn't run without any costs. But, for example, we don't pay any rent here, so that's nice.
Yeah.
But we do have loads of coffee to pay for.
Yeah.
And so we do have some costs, and people tip us. We ask them to...
Make a donation.
Make a donation for what they think it's worth. And sometimes it's worth a lot for them.
Yeah, and I was going to say, so the word cafe might be a bit of a misnomer because it's not actually being held in a cafe, is it?
No, it's not, no, no.
Right. Now, I brought my own thing here. I've actually, from the UK, I've got my own device here, which is it's an electronic soap dispenser. Here you go, it's bust. Oh. Who can I leave this with now to fix?
That's not the way we work. We prefer to do it together.
Right.
Fixing together is much more fun.
So I can't just leave it here and go off
and
for
go
coffee?
No, you can't,
oh.
No.
Right.
So you sit next to the fixer and you talk about, because he also needs your information about why is it not working, what happened, how
right.
did you break it.
Right.
So with that little bits and pieces of information, you fix it together.
Okay.
And sometimes you have to hold the screwdriver or hold the little spare parts.
Do the work yourself.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what's very clever about this idea is it's something we've talked about before on our program. It's a form of micro-volunteering. You've got all these volunteers coming here to give small bits of their time for a kind of bigger cause.
Yeah, that's true. But people are free to come the month they are able to come. And we have a total pool of 32 volunteers. And usually there's a couple of 15.
Yeah,
so
it's not on every day or every
week.
No,
it's not every day, and people just love it. It's sort of a new community.
I suppose what's clever about this is you are pooling lots of people's skills in one place. All these individuals here have all sorts of different repair skills,
yeah.
And you're bringing them under one roof.
Yes, and that's what happens on the spot, actually, because if one fixer cannot fix it, he asks his neighbor fixer, and they learn from each other. It's learning on the job as well. And, of course, we try to get young people also in to get the experience transferred to the next generation.
Okay, well, it's not just this repair cafe here in Bussum. There are, well, ones all over the world, from Greece to Ghana, Norway to New Zealand, Spain to South Africa, Australia to Azerbaijan. The list goes on. The person who actually kicked off this whole movement is Martina Postma. Martina's here. Hi. Thank you for coming.
Hello.
When did all this start? And more importantly, why did you decide to kick this off?
Well, it started 9 years ago. And at the time, I was a journalist. And I wrote about sustainability and more specifically about waste reduction, waste prevention. At a certain moment, I wanted to do more than just write about it. And I wanted to really try to change people's behavior in this respect.
It's a very difficult thing to do, changing people's behavior. We'll come on to that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I thought, why do people throw away so many items? And one of the reasons is that we no longer make repairs. So we don't learn how to do it.
You think it's a skill that we've lost?
Absolutely, yeah. In the old days, people were taught by their parents that when something breaks, you try to fix it. And technique was simpler then, so it was easier to fix. But nowadays, we no longer learn that. We have no tools, we have no skills. And new products are around everywhere, and they're not so expensive. So when something breaks, the road to a new item is much simpler, easier than the road to having something repaired.
I mean, you talk about the lost skills, that people don't have these skills anymore. I mean, this works and depends on two things. It depends on, as you mentioned earlier on, people actually being prepared to bring their stuff in to get it fixed in the first place. And the second thing it depends on are the volunteers for them to kind of give up their time and do this? I mean, who are these repairers and where did you find them? How do you get in touch with these people in the first place if you say that lots of these skills are lost? Some people do have them.
Yes, in many people don't, but in all communities, my experience is that in all communities, there are still some people who do have the skills and the tools and the time and who really like nothing more than tinkering and fixing, and they've been doing this for 20, 30 years in many cases. So that's that's what I realized when I first organized the first repair cafe. It turned out to be not so very difficult to find these volunteers, because when you talk to people, then everyone says, you got to talk to John. He's always tinkering around in his shed. And
yeah, well, let's talk to someone who does tinker around in his shed. Can we bring in Chris Lee, who's in London. Hi, Chris. You run a repair cafe in Royston. That's near Cambridgeshire, right?
In Royston, yes. We're about 10 miles from Cambridge.
Yeah, just tell us, you know, what do you personally get out of repairing stuff? Why do you give up your time?
I think ultimately it's the satisfaction of seeing somebody's face when something is mended that they have a strong association with, that they thought was going to have to be thrown away, but they didn't want to throw it away. They wanted to try and keep it in use for as long as possible. And I think earlier you mentioned about the sentimental value of some items that people are forced to throw away.
Yeah, it's not just new tech and new gadgets that's in it. It's not just electronic stuff. Someone had a garden rake in here a bit earlier on, just a wooden rake.
Yeah, I've got an example of that from one of the repair cafes I was doing, and a woman brought in a garden fork, and we worked out that it was about 100 years old.
Really?
And I said to her, I said, well, of course you could get a new handle for this fork. And she said, of course I could, but it was my mother's garden fork, it was her mother's garden fork, and it was their hands that were working the soil with it, and she said, that's what matters to me. So it was a lovely story through several generations and about 100 years.
Yeah, Chris, that's really a beautiful story, and it's a typical repair cafe story. And that's what, of course you can replace things by new ones, but some have sentimental value, just like you say, and that's what makes it beautiful.
Can I ask, Chris, on an average day in one of your repair cafes, you know, how many repairs can you make?
We usually get in about 30 or 40 items for a 3-hour session, and on average we repair, we reckon, over 50%. And we think we're doing well, but in fact some of the repair cafes get as high as 70 and 80% repair levels, which we think is spectacular. But even people who bring along something that they're thinking of taking to the tip, if we say it is beyond repair, then at least they go to the tip, you know, guilt-free.
Martina, how many repair cafes actually are there around the world now?
At this moment, around 1,600.
And it was first set up in
Amsterdam.
Well, the first one in Amsterdam,
in 2009. Yeah.
Gosh, why do you think they've spread so quickly?
People, deep down, they don't want to throw things away. They feel that it's wrong. So when this solution presents itself, people are more than happy to make use of it. That's my experience from the first repair cafe that I started.
Are you surprised at how far and wide it's gone?
Yeah, absolutely. I never expected it to grow so big.
Okay, well, as this repair cafe gets underway, it's probably been going for an hour now, another repair cafe on the other side of the world, in Bangalore, has already been up and running, going for, well, it's a couple of hours now, and our reporter, Chavi Sajev, is there. Chavi, how busy has it been where you are?
Well, there's been ebbs and flows. Right now, it's fairly busy. We had a 10-year-old come in with a desk lamp she wanted fixed. A doctor brought his suitcase. There's been a few people who brought electrical appliances, like a blender and something I can't quite recognize. There's a boombox, and somebody's getting their shoes fixed. There was this lovely lady who brought in a pair of kitchen scissors that her mother had used. They were 60-year-old scissors, and she said she just didn't have the heart to throw them away. So it's been interesting. I think some people are bringing in bicycles as well now.
Yeah, so we're obviously broadcasting from a community centre in this town, Bussum. Where are you actually in Bangalore?
I'm in the basement of a hospital that's given their space to this repair cafe.
So this is run from the basement of a hospital?
Yes, in the basement of a hospital.
Really? That's interesting.
it's a bright open space. I wasn't expecting it to be quite this spacious and welcoming. And I've got Purna with me. She's one of the co-founders.
Hello. So Purna, I would like to ask you. Yes. Why did you feel there was a need for a repair cafe in Bangalore? Because we, in Holland, we would think that in India, people would still have repair skills. And are we mistaken?
Yeah, the need for repair cafe is there because this whole generation of repair is getting lost. We are living in a nuclear families, and we are not seeing our people repairing it around us. So that's why we felt there is a need to bring this concept again here. Repair is there in our genes, but the genes is sleeping right now. That's why we need to open it up, awake it.
Are there lots of repair businesses in India anyway?
There are many repair shops are there, although this is also in the thick of repairs. There's a big market nearby. It's around the corner.
How do you get away from, you know, harming those other businesses who say, you're taking our livelihood away from us?
So in this repair cafe, you have professional repairers also sitting along with us, along with volunteers. So the first thing is that we are not competing against the professional repairers. We are not taking their business away.
It's Chris here. Can I make a point?
Yeah, go ahead.
What we find is, obviously, part of this is about saving the planet, but it's also about saving people money. And what we find is that people in our locality, they can't afford to take something along to a professional repairer and get it assessed, then to be told it can't be repaired. So what we do is we do at least the assessment for free, and then maybe we say it is worth taking it to a repairer. So we take out some of the expense, and the person is going to the professional repairer knowing that it can be mended, but we in the repair cafe don't have those skills.
But I think one of the things that should change in the future to get repair back into our daily lives is that a professional repair should become cheaper. And now for many people, professional repair is too expensive because you have to pay for the labor, and labor is taxed highly. So I believe that the tax system should change and that labor should be taxed lower so that a professional repair should become more attractive in more cases, and that would enable professional repairers to run their business. And
of course, there will be different labor costs in different parts of the world, though. So what you're talking about there might have a different impact depending on where you are on the planet.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
One thing I wanted to talk about, though, was, you know, for this solution to work, it does, of course, rely on people going out of their way to get stuff mended in the first place. And for whatever reason, a lot of people just don't think like that. As I found out when I paid a visit to a landfill site the other day, have a listen to this.
Why have you come to the tip today?
I'm chucking some stuff out because I'm moving house.
All right, this is the garden chair that's broken.
Yeah, he sat on that and totally broke it, so yeah.
I mean, you say totally broken beyond repair, or?
Well, I don't know. He's sort of broke the metal. It's holes in the metal when he sat on it.
I mean, I wonder whether someone could actually replace that metal part.
They might be able to, but I probably wouldn't bother. I just think it's just easier to get rid of it. So they might have been able to.
Is it the time as well? I mean, the time to actually find
a
metal part.
Yeah, I've got work, two kids and a house to run, and I just can't be bothered, really. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just not practical.
No, exactly.
What's in there? That looks like a...
camera stuff.
You've got to get rid of some camera stuff.
Yep.
Wow, you've got a whole load of lenses in there.
Yeah, they're all beyond it, unfortunately. At a point where they can't be used because they've got fungus and general things wrong with them, so nobody's going to buy them.
Could you repair them, or...?
You could try it, but there's not really much point. They're not worth anything. To take it to pieces and to clean it all out would cost a ridiculous amount of money. It's a perfectly good item of equipment. It's just that it comes down to the fact that that's worth, in perfect working order, about 20 quid in the right place on eBay or somewhere like that.
And to repair it would cost...
To repair it 10 times that much.
So we've got your lenses here, and we're going to put them in the... Well, this is the small appliances bin. Now, I've already been up here and had a look in here.
Oh, right.
Up we go.
And... wow.
What do you think of all that stuff that's in there?
I know, it's dreadful, really. We should really be doing things to reuse things, but it comes down to practicality. If devices are superseded, then you can hardly blame people for buying the latest stuff, especially if the new equipment is going to be generally cheaper than the old equipment and it does a better job.
So there are a couple of issues that are raised there. I wonder, you know, Perna, people have good intentions when it comes to this sort of thing, but life often gets in the way. They're too busy. They just don't have the time.
Yeah, obviously, people are pretty busy in their day-to-day life. But there is a very informed community of people around who are very conscious about their environment.
That's why in Bangalore, in some parts, we get very good response, because people want to do their bit in their surroundings, and so that the things, they are actually doing a lot of effort so that things don't go to landfill.
Martina, I wonder if you could kind of address that issue. Are some of the people here in this repair cafe, we're kind of preaching to the converted. They're here for a reason, because, you know, they're already on board with that environmental movement, with that repair movement. How do you get to the other people? How do you crack the other people who, as we heard from the people like at the tip, who are quite happy just to throw stuff away?
Well, that's a challenge, of course. But we hope to get them into the repair cafe when they have something that they really want to hang on to, when it's a precious broken object that cannot be so easily replaced by the cheap new item. And once they're here and they see that repair is a possibility and that it's in many cases not so difficult, that they can do it too, that in many cases it's just a tiny little wire that needs to be reattached or some dust that needs to be blown away, then we hope to change their minds too, because we know that that's what happens when people come to the repair cafe. They don't really expect things to be repaired, but when they come here and when they see that it can be done, it really opens your eyes, and I believe it opens your mind towards a more sustainable society.
You talk about, you know, maybe just a little kind of wire that's loose here and there. I wonder though, maybe Chris, you could address this as well. Sometimes technology, you know, it's moving at a fast pace, and gadgets are really complicated. You know, you take something apart and you look inside and think, I haven't got the foggiest idea what this is. You know, is there a limit to what you can actually repair in a place like this? Could, you know, if I brought in, say, for example, an iPhone with a cracked screen, you know, I mean, you're stumped in that front, aren't you?
Well, I think, yes, we need to be very clear about where the limits to our expertise are. And obviously health and safety is a big issue. When we're talking about high tech, I'm delighted to say there are other movements going on which focus much more on the mobile phone and the iPad. And there is in London, there's a London-based project called the Restart Project, who do similar things to repair cafes, but they do them at the high-tech end of the spectrum.
Yeah, and there's iFixit as well, isn't there? And they produce guides for people to do it themselves. They show you what to do.
That's right. You can go online and you can look at all sorts of different models of mobile phones, and they put online for free different guides to how to fix different problems.
One of the issues, I think, for, you know, repairing kind of high-tech gadgets, I think, is spare parts. You know, aside from whether you actually have the know-how to do it, you might not have the actual part to do it, especially for complicated consumer electronics. And if you can't get hold of that replacement part, you know, that becomes a problem. And that's an issue I raised with Susanna Baker. She works for Tech UK, and that's a trade association that represents well-known manufacturers across the digital economy.
I think there is a conception, or perception rather, that products of all types can be easily repaired. And I would argue that actually there are degrees of sophistication. I just heard from a member who makes complex set-top boxes that has over 750 components in it. There are lots of working parts to these products. It might not be immediately obvious what the problem is.
What you're saying is essentially some of these items are really complicated. It's not just like taking apart your plug and seeing there's a loose connection and putting it back together again.
Absolutely, which is why manufacturers of these items will always encourage consumers to contact them in the first place, ring them, bring the product in, or find another solution to try and get your product repaired professionally.
Some people might say, well, I want to repair it myself. But the problem is I can't get hold of spare parts. The spare parts aren't readily available, and the manufacturers don't make those spare parts readily available. Or at least if they do, they're expensive to get hold of.
There's a lot of reason why a spare part might be perceived as being expensive. When you are manufacturing in large volumes, it brings down the cost of products. With spare parts, you might be producing them to a smaller run. You're having to store them for longer, and they may have additional supply chain costs built in as a result of this smaller production.
But essentially, from the manufacturer's point of view, the tricky thing for them is, I don't know how many of these spare parts to produce because I don't know how many we're going to need. I don't know where and who's going to need them and when they're going to need them.
Exactly. And we have an added problem. It's about consumer rights, actually, and about who is held liable if something with a product goes wrong, if there's a fire, who has liability in the event of a third-party repair.
Who wants to deal with that, Martina? Who has liability in the event that someone here repairs something? It then goes wrong, let's say, I don't know, there's electrical fault and there's sparks of fire. Is it the repair cafe's liability or is it the manufacturer's liability? That's a tricky one, right?
Well, it's in this case, well, we repair cafes work with registration forms where the visitor puts his signature under the house rules, and the house rules say that you're here at a place where volunteers will help you. They're not liable. You do this on your own risk. It's the same as when you sit down with your neighbor and you try to fix your broken item at the kitchen table. So that's the situation.
That's the deal.
Yeah, that's the deal. And everyone should understand that and be okay with it and put their signature under it. So that's, and if repair cafe groups are not comfortable enough with that, we advise them to take out insurance so that they'll be covered in those cases.
Chris, has that ever happened in Royston where someone's come back and said, hey, you fix this, and it's blown up in my face?
No, I think quite rightly the sort of the health and safety aspects of what we do is taken very seriously. But the actual reality is that certainly in our nearly 5 years of running the repair cafe, we've never had that happen. What I would say is that we do make sure that the repairers are competent. And when somebody new starts, we do buddy them up with somebody who knows what they're doing. So they look over what they're doing and they assess whether they really do know what they're working on. So we take every precaution. But as Martina says, we get people to sign it's not quite a disclaimer, but it's an agreement. It's an understanding that actually we're not calling ourselves professional repairers. We're describing ourselves as volunteers who are happy to try to repair items.
What's the situation in India, Perna? Is that a problem for you as well?
Yeah, so, you know, there's another prospect to it. One is that what we saw is people actually end up bringing only the broken items, which we are anyway they're throwing to the landfill. So they don't mind if it is broken in the process of repairing. So they may have an old music system, which is anyway obsolete. They are not using it anymore. And if they bring it to repair cafe, if it is get repaired, they are fine. If it doesn't, then also they are okay with it. They don't mind this whole process, you know. They don't mind that if we break this. And anyway, we signed on a disclosure with them. Whenever they're filling the forms of their what items they have brought for repair, we signed the disclosure on them because that's how we play safe.
Well, look, we're running short of time now. This repair cafe in Holland is still going. There's some people here. They're fixing a coffee machine. They pulled it apart. There's a chap here with a light shining it into the workings of the device. Some final thoughts then from everybody. Martina, where's this idea going to be in 10, 15 years' time?
Well, I think there will be more repair cafes because they'll be needed. But we also hope that manufacturers realize that products should be repairable and that they should be produced in a more sustainable way so that they can be repaired in a proper way.
And maybe you might even have a 3D printer in a repair cafe so you could print off some spare parts to fix the things that you don't have the bits for straight away.
That will be challenging, but maybe in the future.
You'd love that, Chris, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think the future of repair cafes is as much around bringing people together. And I think coming to a repair cafe, it does create that sense of community, that togetherness. It creates friendships. And it slows people down for a little bit while they actually learn a little bit about more about their products and how they can be mended. So I think it has a much wider role to play than simply connecting broken items with repairers. It's connecting people with each other.
My thanks to everyone, to Martina and Petra here in Bussum, to Chris in London and Chavi and Perna in Bangalore. And thank you for listening to People Fixing the World. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us wherever you download your podcasts from. There'll be another episode of People Fixing the World next week. In the meantime, can I recommend another World Service podcast, The Why Factor? Fascinating episode I heard recently about people exploring the science behind why we feel heartache. That's it for now. I'm off for a masterclass on how to repair an electronic soap dispenser. Heroes welcome, no doubt, from my wife when I bring it back repaired. I've actually just been handed a list of all the things that have been fixed in the repair cafe here today in Bussum. Soap dispenser, a leather bag, a train. Is that a toy train? Not a real train. There wasn't a real train in here. Vacuum cleaner, a milk foamer, a garden rake, a bracelet, a chair, a toaster, a T-shirt, jeans, Christmas lights, a printer's been fixed, a lighter, a coffee machine, a speaker, a radio, and a pickup. What's that?
Yeah, that's to play vinyl music. A record.
A record player.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, right, retro. Record player.
We call that a pickup.
Vinyl. The vinyl revival.
Vinyl. Yeah, exactly.
Take care.